Good morning. Good to be here with y'all. Why don't we pray and then we will read the Bible together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. We see that no more clearly than when we pause and gaze at the cross. We thank you, God, for this time that we remember you every week. And now, God, as we open your word and we listen to what you wrote, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and that you would guide us to know and love you more, to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So, flip over to Colossians chapter 3. We've been going through Colossians with an eye towards asking the question, what does it look like to live as a Christian? What does life in Christ look like? And hopefully, so far, it's been helpful for you if you are a Christian. So you say, this is how I live. This is what life is supposed to be like for me. And if you're not a Christian yet, hopefully this has been helpful and will continue to be helpful so that you could say, okay, this is what life would be like if I became a Christian. This is what it's supposed to be like for me if I enter into Christ. And today we get a fun one. I've heard the chatter and the asking for a nice, good, feel-good, light sermon, just something that makes us feel happy as we go on our way on Sundays. And look at verse 8. We get to talk about anger. I know, the opposite of a light, good, feel-good. But we go where the text takes us, and that's where the text takes us today. So, if your first thought is, this may not be light and feel good for some, but for me, this could be an easy one because I'm not an angry person. I understand that. Up until very recently, I didn't think that I was an angry person because, you know, angry people are those people who get, you know, explosively, violently, you know, mad. You know when they're mad because they yell and they scream and they punch holes and stuff and they're dangerous when they're mad. And I'm not that person, so I didn't think I had an anger problem. And then, well, unfortunately, I started realizing, you know, what I would say was a stress problem or a patience problem or kind of being snappy problem. That's anger. I have an anger problem. There's anger under all that. So on one hand, I feel, I feel really hypocritical talking about this and teaching this. And if the text wouldn't have taken us here today, we wouldn't be talking about this because I struggle greatly with anger. This is, when they say there's three fingers pointing back when you point one finger. And if I'm pointing a finger when I'm preaching, there's three back at me. And there's like 10 pointing back at me on this one. So just, you know, full disclosure, I'm talking to myself this morning and you get to listen. So are you an angry person? And again, if your reaction is like mine used to be and many times still is, I'm not angry. I don't get violently angry. I've never done anything in anger that would like land me in jail or, you know, I'm not one of those people. I don't get mad. I'm a quiet person. I kind of just take it all and it's okay. Well, the truth is, we all get angry. We all get angry. Anger isn't measured by how loud you are when you're angry. It's not measured by how much danger other people feel in your presence when you're angry. It's not measured by how careful people are around you in public so that, you know, you don't blow up. That's not what anger is measured by. Some people are quiet and other people are loud. Some people keep it all inside and you would never know they're angry, but we all get angry. So this particular verse is for all of us. We all get angry because anger is an emotion. It's something we feel, right? It's something that comes over us, whether we hide it or not. We all feel anger. And so have you ever, like for those of us who say I'm not an angry person, have you ever just blown up about the tiniest little thing? You're like, why did I get upset about that? I'm not an angry person. I don't blow up about anything. And then I blow up about that tiny little thing. Well, that's because we're carrying anger around inside of us. And it's just building up and building up. And then it blows out. And we're all angry. We all get angry, whether we show it or not. So when do you get angry? What kind of stuff makes you feel that? No matter what you do with it, what makes you feel anger? When if you just had like a, you know, discussion last night with your spouse or something and you're feeling anger right now, I apologize. I didn't know that going into this and I still don't. So, you know, just put the church smile on and no one else will know. But what makes you mad? What makes you feel angry? Why do we get angry? Have you ever thought about that? This is going to be helpful at the end, because how do we get rid of anger? It has a lot to do with why we get angry. Why do we get angry? Isn't it true? Okay, so when I get angry, or when we get angry, don't we tend to like put it on other people? You made me get angry. Look what you made me do. If this happened and then I got angry, and because this happened, if this wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have gotten angry. We cast blame for our anger, for that emotion we feel, on whatever caused it. But where does that actually come from? Where does that anger, that emotion, that thing inside of us, where does it come from? Doesn't it come from not being able to control something? Like, I can't control the way things are going, and so that makes me mad. That whatever, I can't control you, and you're doing stuff I don't like, so that makes me mad. Our anger comes from not being able to, to control that frustration, that irritation that we have. It all goes back to our rebellion against God in the garden. I want to be like God. And so when God controls everything, right? He's all powerful. He controls everything. But if I'm the little God of my little world, if I want to be like God in my life, if I want to be the little God of Philip's world and Philip's family's world and the people around Philip, if I want to be the one in charge of all that, if I want to be God, then I want to control everything, at least everything that I care about. I want to be the one who makes sure things happen and you do and stuff turns out and nothing bad. And I want to control stuff. And then I get upset when I can't control stuff, when I can't control you, when I can't control me, when I can't control my life, when I can't control my little domain, I get angry. That's where anger comes from. And then that anger, because I don't control what I want to control, and so I get mad. That ends up destroying. Obviously, if you yell and scream and punch and hit and insult and, you know, say stuff, and that destroys. We know that destroys when you fight with somebody. But also, doesn't that, when you keep it inside, doesn't that kind of destroy too? Kind is a bad word for that, right? It really destroys. It makes you a bitter, stressful, impatient, not nice to be around person who loses it for tiny stuff because we're carrying around anger. Whether we let it out or we keep it in, anger destroys. You ever seen, of course, this isn't a have you, it's can you think of a friendship that you've seen ruined because of anger, or marriage? That's painful, right? Because anger destroys. So what do we do with our anger? That's what this verse is going to tell us, talk to us about. What do we do with our anger? What I do with my anger afterwards, I say things like, you made me get angry. I couldn't control myself. This happened. I got furious. I was angry. Hopefully it'll just like blow over. That's the only way I could have reacted to that situation. You would have reacted the same. Of course I got angry. It's justifiable anger. We like that in the church world, right? That's justified anger. That's justifiable anger. And then we pull out Ephesians 5, in your anger do not sin. So then we kind of front load that and say, well, of course that means we can get angry. Just don't sin while you're angry. How does that work for you? Doesn't work very well for me. I can't remember one time I've been angry and haven't sinned eventually in some way because of that anger. In your anger, do not sin. It also says, don't let the sun go down in your anger. So we're not supposed to be angry for more than 24 hours. So he's already kind of taking away the it's okay to be angry part of that. But we justify our anger. We don't do a good job of not being angry, probably because anger is an emotion. And there's something inside of us that knows I can't change my emotions. If you do whatever to me, I'm gonna feel that. I'm gonna be angry. I can't change my emotions. So it would never occur to me that I should have zero tolerance for anger, that I should reject anger and not be angry. I just know that's the way life is. That's the way I am. I'll try to control the symptoms, but I'm never gonna not be angry. And that leaves us in kind of a sad place, a hopeless place, because we end up living full of anger. And look at what God says about this. Look at Colossians 3, verse 8. But now, you must put them all away, all these things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. I read that and I say, I think the big idea in that verse is God's children are supposed to leave behind anger. We're not supposed to be angry. We're not supposed to be angry. He says, look at what he says. He says, now. That's kind of an immediate thing, right? That's an immediate word. It's now do this. This isn't a fight against this for the rest of your life and eventually get over it. It's don't be like this. Don't be angry now. It's an immediate. It's something that we have to do. It's a decision that we're supposed to make today. It's we're supposed to say, I'm not going to be angry now. Put away, put them all away. You have to put away, that leave behind, completely get this out of your life. It's not I have a smaller anger problem, or I don't hit stuff when I'm angry, so that's okay. It's completely get rid of, put away, get put this stuff out of your life. It's not I need to battle against anger for the rest of my life, although I will, and you will too. It's I need to say anger is supposed to be completely out of my life. It's a cutting off of. It's not supposed to be who I am. And this is it's a continuous thing as well, as you know, because, well, we have our flesh that we carry around, and stuff is going to happen that we can't control, and that's going to make those emotions come up. And so every time they come up, we're supposed to now put away that emotion. We're supposed to now put that behind us and not feel that and not react out of that emotion. We're supposed to put it outside of us. It's an emotion in our flesh. It'll always be coming up, but we're supposed to be constantly putting it away. So now put away all, and then he says all. It's not just the bad stuff. That's the quotation mark. Not just the bad stuff that I do when I get angry. It's not the bad stuff that anger makes me do. I'm supposed to put all of this away. Everything that he is going to say after this, we're supposed to put it all away. There's not different grades. It's like, well, this is kind of acceptable. I can kind of, you know, blow up as long as I contain it, as long as I don't do anything that will land me in jail, as long as I'm not a horrible person, or as long as it's not really in public. He says, no, put away all of these things. Completely get these out of your life. And then he gives us this natural progression that anger and angry stuff takes. And walk down, and it's not necessarily a straight path, because, you know, depending on how you're wired, these happen in different orders. And it's not a different order, it's not an order thing, but they're the different components of the stuff that make us, well, that make us angry, that the way we react when we feel anger. Look at the stuff he says to get out of our life. Look at the second word, wrath. That to me, that's the explosion. It's when something happens and you feel that explosion of emotions inside of you. And maybe you, like me, are good at hiding that. So, you know, people can look at you and they don't realize, unless they really, really know you, that you're just like a volcano inside. But it's that thing happens and you just, it's when, if you were a yeller, you would yell. It's when, if you, you know, like bad words and stuff, that's when it would happen. It's that explosion of emotions that we feel. It's like, okay, let's compare anger to a fire. And I know it's maybe not a biblical comparison. James compares our tongue to a fire, but just go with me on this. Compare anger to a fire. The wrath, the explosion, that's like the initial, my dad used to, I probably still does, start the Weber thing, the grill with the charcoal, man, I hope the, wow. He used to start it with gasoline, and I know, it was fun to watch. You just couldn't get too close, and he would stand back and throw the match, okay, that's wrath. That's that initial thing you feel in the moment. If you always felt that, you would die. That initial surge of, you know, just anger, that blinding, you know, the blinding rage, that kind of, when you feel that, you can't always feel that. You can't sustain that. The flames would go down, you know, after a few minutes, unfortunately. It was kind of cool to watch. You just had to be farther away from the house. There was this one time when kind of was too close to the house, and either myself or my dad, I don't remember. My memory's not as good as it Well, it never was very good. But anyway, we had to move the grill away from the house while it was in flames. But anyway, the flames go down eventually, which that rage, that blinding anger, that kind of, you know, dissipates, and it kind of, right, it goes down. But in the moment, that's like a blinding emotion, and we just blow up. And what makes you feel that kind of blinding, just the rage that just comes over you? And even if it passes, you know, in seconds, what makes you feel just like, I could kill somebody for this half of a second, and then it goes past, and okay, I got that under control. What makes you explode? Okay, he's saying that emotion is sin, that God specifically commands us, don't do that. Don't feel that emotion. And I know it's, you know, it's that's impossible. It's an emotion. It comes over me. Okay, we'll get there. But for the time being, look what he says. Put away. You must put away that explosion. We put it away by recognizing in the moment God's sovereignty. No matter what it is that would make me explode like that, God's in control of it. He rules and reigns over the whole universe. He works all things together for his will. He does what he will. He is the king over all. He's doing something in this moment. That thought is what helps us put aside the blinding rage that we feel when we don't get our way, when things don't go the way we want it to. Go back one word, anger. That's the ongoing emotion, right? You can't sustain the blinding rage, but then it kind of simmers down to just that, you know, that it's not really, you can't, there aren't words to describe it, but that sound, right? You know, when you feel that sound inside of you, and it's just, you can keep that going for a long time, right? You can be mad. There's not a time limit on that. That can just keep going and going and going. It's like if, you know, there's the flames is the rage. That's kind of like, you know, those, you ever buy the, not the normal charcoals, but the ones that I think they import them, and they're pieces of wood at Sam's. They have the big bags of them, and there's pieces of actual wood that are turned into charcoal, which I think is how it used to be. And they're chunks of big old chunks of wood. Once you get those started, and it takes more than, you know, a couple, you got to put some stuff on there to get them going. Once you get them going, they will burn forever. I'll cook hamburgers, come out 3 hours later. I could keep cooking hamburgers. They just keep going and going and going. That's what that anger is. It just sits inside of us and simmers, and just and because it's not blinding rage, do you feel like I got to get rid of that? Oh no. And normally it's justified, right? Something happened. They did something to me. They made me mad. If they wouldn't have, they said that thing and they didn't do that other thing. And so it's very, I feel very justified. I'm angry for a reason. It's not, and I'm controlling and everything, but it's just simmering inside of me. You're giving me blank looks like I'm the only one who ever has that feeling. I know it's not true. So think, okay, when do you feel that? What right now, what are you carrying around inside of you that if you weren't in church, you would go with me on this? You'd say, yeah, I have that just simmering, burning little thing inside of me. And I ignore it and I put it aside, but it's there. If I see that person, or they say the right thing, or the wrong thing, or, you know, something of that one thing, or I think about this subject, or this thing comes up, and I'm just like, I'm there again. It's just right there, and it's not blinding rage. It's just that little simmering thing. What is that for you? What makes you feel that? What makes you feel that sin? I don't like that being sin. I like saying, well, as long as I don't sin in my anger. It is longer than 24 hours, though, that it keeps going, but we'll ignore that part of the verse. I like, you know, just being able to justify that, but he says, but now you must put away anger. You got to dump water on that burning briquette. You got to get it. You got to put it out. You're not supposed to carry that around inside of you. Again, how do we get rid of that? Well, first of all, we do it by rejecting it. By saying, I hardly ever, when I feel that kind of, and I'm controlling, I'm not, you know, blinded by rage, I'm not going to yell at anybody, I just kind of carry it around inside of me. I don't feel like that's wrong. I never goes through my mind, I should not feel this way. So I don't reject it. I don't say, I should stop feeling this way. Well, how am I going to stop feeling that way if I never say I should stop feeling that way. So it starts by us rejecting it. We leave it behind. We put it off by mentally rejecting it, by saying, that's actually sin. What I'm feeling, that emotion, I know I can't change my emotions, but the fact that I'm feeling that, and I'm just like, that's sin. And then, God, would you take that out of me? Would you replace that with peace and happiness? And would you change my heart? Because that's what he does when his spirit is inside of us. That's how we leave that behind. And then keep going down the anger path. So there's that wrath and there's anger. There's malice. What is malice? It sounds like, you know, like a black metal band name or something. Something. It's like, it's not something I ever do. What's malice? It's desiring bad for somebody else, on somebody else. It's when, you know, that person did that thing to you and you blew up, but you kept it under control, and then you're just kind of like, eh. And then whenever you see that person, you're like, eh. They didn't have a car wreck on the way here. Maybe next time. Something bad will happen to them. And then we Christianize it up, you know, like, I think God's going to discipline them severely. And I'll pray for them when that happens. We want bad stuff to happen. We never say it out loud. That's why it's embarrassing, you know, for me to talk about it. But we do. It's when we could do something good for that person, but we say, I would never do that for them. I'm not going to do anything bad to them, but I'm not going to help them either. That's the fire. What does fire start doing when it burns? It starts destroying stuff. It starts hurting and making things break. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that feeling that you would really like? I mean, you don't want to go to jail and you don't want to sin, but you would really, it would make you just be so satisfying if something bad happened to that person. Not horribly bad, but enough to make them, you know, realize and wake up and realize what they did to you. Maybe the same thing happened to them. You ever feel that? He says, that's sin. That's sin. You got to put that off. Don't, you can't want bad stuff to happen to other people, even in your heart of hearts that you would never say out loud, especially on Sunday, especially in church. But you got to put that off. That's sin. And how do we put that off? This could be a whole other sermon. Don't worry, we won't. How do we put that off? You do what Jesus said. You love your enemies. You pray for those who persecute you. You bless instead of cursing. You find ways to ask God, would you bless that person? Would you bring good stuff into that person's life? That flips the switch on the malice, on wanting bad stuff to happen to them. God, would you help them? Would you give me an opportunity to be nice to that person who was so mean to me? And I'm just like, and I wish. And would you give me, and when I'm nice to you and you've been mean to me, and that kills the whole desire for me to be mean, for me to want something bad to happen to you. Malice is cut off in a Christian's heart by us doing good to those who we feel don't deserve good to be done to them. And then he continues, he says, anger, wrath, malice, slander. What's slander? It's speaking ill of other people. And see, again, it's the whole I don't want to go to jail thing, so I'm not going to hit you, but when I'm talking to somebody else about you and your name comes up, or I can make your name come up, well, I'm not going to talk well about you, and I'm actually going to say, I might just tell them what you did to me. You know, you did it, so kind of deserves to be told. It's not like I'm gossiping. Happened to me. But what am I doing? I'm running you down to another person. Even if it's true, and even if you deserve it, and even if I'm totally justified and I'm totally right, and I'm seeing both sides of the story and I'm completely in the right, I'm running you down to that person. I'm speaking bad about you. And that's if I'm totally in the right and I'm just telling what happened and I'm making them look on me better and look on you worse. And that's the important part. But I never see it clearly and I never say just what happened. I always make you look worse than you ever would be. I'm slandering you. I'm talking bad about you. Isn't that a huge way that anger almost always destroys? We don't always hit people. That's maybe why he doesn't say, don't hit people when you're angry, because that's not, maybe it's common. But we always talk bad about people who we're upset with. even if there's a smile on her face and, you know, poor thing, I hope, but I'm running them down to you and I want you to think worse of them, talking bad about them to you. He said, put that away. Don't ever do that. You have to put that away. And now this is an action. So how do we put that out of our, how do we stop destroying people and their reputation, even if they deserve it verbally? How do we do that? Has anybody ever done that to you? Has anybody ever talked bad about you and you found out about it and then these other people think badly about you, but they don't know the whole story? And even if they do know the whole story, you're kind of embarrassed about that. And you've actually asked forgiveness for what happened, but now other people know it and they didn't have to know it, but now they do. And so they think they have a very slanted view of you and they'll never look at you the same. And how does that feel? And so he says, put it away. And how do we put it away? We put it away by, it's really simple. We just don't say anything. We don't say anything about the person. When we're upset with someone, when we don't feel good about someone, and I don't do this very well, so I'm going to say it, but I'm not saying it like I'm a, you know, I do this and you should too. It's a, I don't do this very well. We're supposed to not say anything, even when we're, especially when we're justified. We're supposed to just not say anything. We're supposed to entrust it to the one who judges and let him deal with it. And if he wants other people to know what they did, they'll find out. I'm not the one who's supposed to be judge and jury and exact my little slice of vengeance by running you down to other people. I'm supposed to be quiet. I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut. I'm supposed to entrust it to the hands of God. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's how I put that aside. And then look at the last one. I'm glad the list is over. I am. It's not been a fun list, but it's almost done. You must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And if you say, well, I don't say, you know, four-letter words, but people who know you say, yeah, but you say mean stuff when you're mad. I mean, you don't use the four-letter words, but you're mean. You're mean. You hit below the belt when you're mad. I do too. I know. But it doesn't make it any better just because you don't use those, you know, that list of the 10 words you can't say when you're mad or when you're happy if you're a Christian. Or if you use those words, or if you yell, or if you scream, or if you, you know, you say stuff that hurts the other person. We destroy when we're mad. This comes out of us, I think, more when we're in that moment of blinding rage and our mouths just kind of go. And that's when there's like a direct analogy to James's analogy of our tongues being fire and the sparks that set on fire. Because when we talk, when we're mad, when we're in that moment of rage, and when we talk out of our anger and especially out of our rage, that blinding explosive emotion, we say stuff that any sane person would say, well, that's, what's the word that I could say instead of S-T-U-P-I? Dumb. That's dumb. That's crazy talk. That makes no sense. And it's really hurtful. And why would you do that? You're just jabbing. You're hitting people with your words and your volume. And he says, put that aside. Get that out of, because it destroys. Remember, okay. When people talk to you and they hit below the belt because they're mad at you, isn't that just like the most unfair situation? Because, well, how do you fight back? The only way is to, you know, yell back stuff that's equally unfair and hitting below the belt. And that doesn't do anything other than, you know, you're sinning too. So that doesn't help. It's horribly hurtful. And then the moment of anger is over. And then you're left, or they're left, you're both left with those words. And they're there and they hurt. And even if you rehash it and say, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, but you said it, came out of your heart in a moment of anger, it made you feel good, made me feel good to say that, just, oh, there's a kind of like, oh, feels so good to just, I can say what I, he says, put that aside, leave it aside. How do we put that aside? Same way with the other. Bite our tongue. When that moment of blinding rage, we don't talk. We don't speak out of that rage. We don't say anything in that moment that we wouldn't say in a perfectly calm moment, which is really hard because it's like asking someone who's drunk to not walk in any other way than the way that they would walk if they were sober. It's kind of impossible, right? I mean, hopefully not everyone can say right to that, but if you've seen movies, you know that that's a true statement, right? So same thing with this. It's like, how do I, when I'm blinded by rage and I'm like, I got to get rid of my rage and I got to respond right now and I got to only say stuff that I would say if I didn't have that rage, and that's really hard. So a Christian is going to, if they're going to obey this, we're going to speak a lot less until we work on the rage and the rage is passed, and then I can maybe start speaking and saying things that aren't obscene talk from my mouth. And if all through this verse you've been listening to this saying, that sounds nice, I wish my wife or my husband would do that, but I can't, I know me, there's no way that I could do that, as good as it would be, that's impossible. It's like all of God's commandments, that's an impossible commandment. I can't change my emotions. When I feel that blinding flash of rage, I can't just stop that, can I? I can't, I'm angry inside, I can't not feel that. I can't not react based on those emotions. Sometimes words just come out. I can't stop. I can't do that. I can't obey this command. There's a certain helplessness that we feel when God says, don't feel this emotion. Don't feel that. And you're like, how do I not feel that? But just the fact that Paul is saying, if you're God's child, you leave behind wrath and anger, he's saying not only are you supposed to, but you can. And then if you start thinking about it, you say, well, isn't that what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. All of those things are fruits of the Spirit. And aren't all those things the direct opposite of the emotions of wrath and anger and reacting out of those emotions? That the Spirit works, the promise of God is that His Spirit will work in us to change our emotions. But we have to walk with the Spirit, and we have to say, I recognize I shouldn't feel that, and I'm going to fight against that, but not with my own power, with the Spirit. God, would you change this emotion in me? I don't want to feel this. I shouldn't feel it. Please change me. Please make peace and happiness and kindness, goodness grow in me. And when we do that, God does change us. God does change us. He replaces our anger with peace, and he gives us acceptance of the reality of life instead of resisting what we can't control. He gives us self-control instead of exploding all over the people around us. He gives us peace and happiness instead of malice and wanting and just, I wish I could hurt them, and I can't, but I wish I could. So what should we do with this verse? Isn't getting rid of our anger, doesn't it have to do with how it starts, with where it comes from? And if anger comes from me not accepting the sovereignty of God and me trying to be in control, and God says, put all that away, then isn't the best way to put that away by accepting God's in control? Whatever happens, God's in control. And if you're, this morning, you're listening to this and you say, okay, I get that, but I'm not a Christian. See, everything starts with you, if you aren't God's child yet, by accepting God's sovereignty. Isn't that the essence of your decision to give yourself to Jesus? The essence is telling God, I've lived as my own boss up until now in my life. Now I am surrendering to you, and you will be the boss of me. If you're not a Christian, listen, you shouldn't try to spend this week trying to fight against your anger. I mean, that'd be great. Do it. But it's a losing battle. You don't have God's Spirit inside of you, and it won't make you right before God. But tell you what will, if you go to God and say, I will accept that you are the king, not only of the universe, but of my life. I want you to be the sovereign of me. I want you to be the boss, the Lord, the one who tells me what to do. I'm going to repent. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to give myself to you. And in this community, when you are ready to make that decision to tell God, I want you to be the boss of me, and then I'll fight against anger for the rest of my life. But I want to start out by saying, you're going to be the boss of me. I want you to save me, and I want to give myself to you. When you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. You can become God's child. And if you've already said that to God, if you remember the moment when you came up out of the water and you were telling God, you're the boss of me, what should we do? How do we get rid of our anger? We accept God's sovereignty. We tell God, I told you that you were in charge then, and in this moment when I'm so upset because that person didn't do and this thing happened and it didn't work out, and you're still the boss of me. And you're the boss of the whole universe. So you're the one controlling everything. So what if in our moments of anger, what if we just fought against them by just talking to God, by confessing what we know we believe up here and our hearts aren't feeling in that moment, saying, okay, you're the king of the universe and you are reigning over this moment. You're in charge of what's happening. You're ordaining and letting happen, and you're putting things in place, and you could stop this or you could let it keep going, or you're in charge, and I trust you and I accept your will and I place myself in your hands. What if we started saying that when we had that blinding gasoline fire rage burning inside of us? And then what if we, instead of, I can't believe they did that, and what if we started talking to God and just asking him, what are you trying to do? What do you want to happen? How do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do in this moment? If we start talking to God in those moments, instead of focusing on our anger and what we're feeling, what if we started talking to God and asking him? And what if we just begged him, you've promised that your spirit gives peace and happiness and self-control. I need that right now. Would your spirit please guide me? And would you make me feel things I don't feel right now? Would you transform me from the inside out? What would our anger and our rage and our malice and the way we talk and our slander, what would happen to that if we started talking to God in those moments and letting him control us and surrendering to him? That's our assignment, not just for this week, for the rest of our life. Why don't we stand and we'll pray together and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so very good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for reminding us once again that you're the king of the universe. You control everything. We even thank you, God, and we especially thank you for the conviction that your word gives us, that the way we react to stuff that we don't like in life is sin. So we confess that together this morning. Our anger, our wrath is sin. So God, I pray that you would help us to be more like Jesus and surrender those emotions to you. Pray that your spirit would work in us and replace our anger with peace and acceptance of your will and love for the people around us, even when we really know they don't deserve our love. But help us to give grace, the grace you've given to us. Transform us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.